Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is John Vandemore. He is the author of the brand new book, Rigged Justice, How the College Admissions Scandal Ruined an Innocent Man's Life. John is the former Stanford sailing coach before he got caught up into this crazy college admissions scandal and, as the subtitle says, ruined an innocent man's life. John, as before we get into the book, what is the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the words Stanford University these days?
For these days, it's a mixture of pretty strong anger, but also a lot of great memories, especially with the student athletes and the great people I got to work with. But certainly right now, there's a lot of anger there.
You're the head sailing coach there. You spent 11 years there, gave 11 years of your life to the student athletes and to the alumni and those types of things. Can you explain how Rick Singer came into your life? Because it's just an absolutely incredible story.
Yeah. So one day after practice, I got a call on my way home, driving down the 101 in California, and Rick Singer calls. I pick up the phone because it's a Newport Beach phone number, and I have a lot of recruits in the area, so I definitely want to pick up the phone for that. And this guy introduces himself as a recruiter that works with a bunch of coaches at Stanford and wants to meet with me the next day. Having a recruiter at sailing is pretty rare, but pretty common in other sports like football, soccer, and so on, basketball. So I decided to meet with him the next day just to at least hear him out. He comes the next morning, kind of waltz in my office. We have a full security system, so you have to be let in, but somehow he got in on his own and just showed up at my office door and sat down, and we talked that first day for about 2 hours going into it. Rick was someone who was very familiar with Stanford, someone who also got an endorsement to me from this guy, Adam Cohen, who is one of the basketball coaches at Stanford. So that was really the first introduction.
And it turns out Stanford is offering not just you, but coaches and universities around the country, essentially recruits for sports like sailing, gymnastics and such, that people just don't play these. And he's got a scam going on where parents are giving him money to get him into universities. And I know that's a huge summary, but we don't have time to explain all the details of it. But it brought to mind the thing in my mind. Somebody brings to a sailing coach, a recruit, this isn't like a sport where, in football, where you can get on and watch a kid's highlights. You can go watch a kid's football Friday night game. Sailing, how do you do it? How does the recruiting work in sailing when you as a coach are doing it to make sure that kids actually sail and can accomplish the things that their resume say they can?
Yeah, it's true. It's definitely more challenging. There's not as many resources out there, but really the coaches have to be kind of boots on the ground. So you have to go to a bunch of regattas, you have to travel, you have to meet and talk with these student athletes and see if they're going to fit your team. That makes the coach pretty thin in the coverage that he can actually cover, because it's all over the country and sometimes all over the world that you're meeting and talking to recruits and actually seeing them sail. And unlike football or soccer or something like that, the venue that they're sailing in is offshore. So you have to be able to get out there and actually watch them sail. You're not just standing on shore being able to see it. So it is challenging. The other part of it is looking through results online and seeing how kids do and knowing other sailors and seeing if they beat other sailors and matching them up that way.
The thing I found the most interesting in this book, or one of the things, but the book is just incredibly interesting, is how when all of this went down with Rick Singer, the things that he set you up with, at no time did it seem to me, and maybe to even you at the time, that anything was wrong with what he was doing. Was that kind of the sense you had? Because this completely took you by surprise.
Completely took me by surprise. Yeah, it was shocking to me. My lawyer would later describe it to me as he was grooming me through these kind of key moments. But I was really focused on that Rick Singer was bringing me recruits, first off. And secondly, he was bringing me recruits that could possibly donate. So to me, I was doing my job really well. I'm being able to find players that could possibly help my team and players that could possibly help my team by donating to the program as well.
When you're a coach in a non-revenue sport like sailing, what portion of your job, or is it part of your job description to make sure you're bringing in money to the program, not just from tuition money and such, but from donors?
Yeah, it's not an official part of the job description, but certainly it is a big part. The university does a great job of giving you a solid budget for competition and travel, but for us, we also need to be able to have both sails. The sailing venue is about 20 minutes away from the actual campus, so you have to be able to get there. All those things that are really key factors for us every day in practice are meant to be fundraised for. So that's where the pressure really comes in, is to be able to raise the money to provide all the kind of the capital assets of the program.
And it isn't like you have a slew of scholarships, like a basketball team has 10 or 13 or whatever scholarships, or a football team has X number of scholarships. You don't have these athletic scholarships to hand out. So how does the university go about giving you these slots to fill?
So really, yes, it's true. Sailing does not have scholarships. It's actually not allowed in our sport to have any scholarships involved in our sport. But the slots were basically based on spreading out the academic and student-athlete wealth throughout the 36 varsity sports. We're certainly not the only sport there at Stanford that's non-revenue. So having spots for a sport like sailing is really important to what I thought was the kind of key mission of Stanford, of being able to not just be about football, but be about a wide breadth of athleticism.
As I read the book, the crime for which you were convicted is one of these crimes that's described in the law as a crime of moral turpitude. And, you know, it's a crime of dishonesty, essentially. As I read the book, I think the only dishonest thing you did was actually admit your guilt. Am I reading that wrong?
No. No, you're not reading that wrong. It's, from my mind, through all of it, is I was convicted of being dishonest to my victim, which in this case is Stanford. I don't see how that's true in a lot of ways, and since I went and talked to the athletic director in charge of my sport multiple times, the athletic director of the university said that he knew Rick Singer. Another coach at Stanford pointed me to Rick Singer as well. I didn't take any money. All the money went to my victim, which in the law is probably the oddest bribery case ever, where the victim receives 100% of the funds from that. And on top of that, no student that Rick Singer ever brought to me even applied to Stanford. So it's not like it took someone's spot at Stanford as well. They didn't even read an application from any of these students. So it's hard for me to really fathom that I was somehow dishonest with Stanford.
And then I suppose that people who hear this or hear your story and just read headlines say, well, he had to have done something wrong or he wouldn't have pled guilty. It's really not that simple, is it?
No, it's not. I was certainly one of those people before all of this that would say, if someone pleads guilty, then they're absolutely guilty. But the chips are stacked against you on this. I mean, for me personally, it was the FBI approaching me, FBI and IRS approached me with Stanford already testifying against me, trying to basically throw me under the bus right away. And then you had this racketeering charge, which made it extremely complicated by the law to be able to defend yourself when you're kind of looped in with everybody else. And the government has a huge win rate against that. On top of that, for a case like this, especially fraud, it is a really complicated, that's really complicated legal theory. And so to find a lawyer that is very knowledgeable in that area is tough. And it's expensive. I was looking at a pretty large law bill that I would never be able to recoup those funds. So winning for me would have been spending millions of dollars that I don't have, and being out of work for a year, now it's been multiple years with COVID, and having to lose my career and have to start over again anyways. So for me, pleading guilty was the best way for me to kind of move forward, have my family move forward, and also to have my sailing team move forward, because it was important to me that they were able to move past this as quickly as they could.
There's several sections of this book that reminded me of reading a Nathaniel Philbrick memoir about sailing, about your love of sailing, the way the sea speaks to you, the winds of the sea, and things like that. Have you ever lost that sense through all this of the love of the water and of sailing?
You know, that's a great question. I haven't, it's complicated, but I haven't lost the love of being on the water and in sailing itself. But what it has really impacted me is my love of competition has certainly faded a bit, and really has made me feel awkward going to regattas and going to competitions and seeing the world that I lived in. But at no time did it really diminish my love of being outside on the water. There's really nothing better than that.
Well, this story you share is a cautionary tale, and a lot of people will learn a lot from it, I'm sure. The book is called Rigged Justice, How the College Admissions Scandal Ruined an Innocent Man's Life by John Vandemore. The book is available everywhere. John, I can't tell you how interesting I found this book, and your tale is one that I'm sure people will certainly have their eyes opened about, and I thank you for joining us to talk about it.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcasts. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.